Good to see each of you here this morning. If you are again visiting with us, let us tell you how glad we are that you came and hope you'll come back and worship with us every time that you have opportunity to do so. The prophet Isaiah, referred to by the Jewish people themselves as the great prophet, gave to us the message this morning that I would like for us to consider somewhat. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good, who put darkness for light, and who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto those who are wise in their own eyes and are prudent in their own sight." Isaiah was a great man, a great prophet of God, held in great esteem by the later populace that would look back at his work. However, when Isaiah was speaking to the people, he was not very well received, as were, it was true with all the prophets. Isaiah would be a prophet along with Micah, and they prophesied over in the southern kingdom from Jerusalem and Judea. And other contemporaries with them would be Hosea and Amos that you've read about. They would have been prophets in the northern kingdom. Isaiah lived long enough to be able perhaps to witness the destruction of the northern kingdom by Assyria. However, he also spoke about the coming destruction that would happen to Jerusalem, but he held out hope, and he gave a promise that God had made concerning the coming of Redeemer, the coming of the Messiah, who indeed would be able to bring all people together in the kingdom, in the body of Christ. So, as we think about it, I wanted to use as the thought of our lesson this morning, what is normal? What is normal? I hope you get the point. Of course, got one normal upside down. I hear this all the time. I hear individuals, just as Isaiah did in his day, "Don't tell me what's right and wrong. Don't you dare tell me, because what I'm doing is what's normal for me." So we have all of these things that are going on in our world at the present time, just like they did back then. Let me tell you, one of the things that hurts parents, kids, listen to me. One thing that hurts parents more than anything else is for a child to rebel against what mama and daddy have taught them all their life. I speak to a lot of parents whose children no longer have anything to do with God's people, who've gone out on their own. They said, "I've had all of that. I want to do my own thing." I mean, after all, isn't it normal for me to do my own thing? Can I do what I want to do for a change? This is the type of philosophy that we hear all the time. That's what Israel said. Leave us alone. Give us someone who will speak unto us smooth things. We've heard all of these negatives we want. We want to do what we want to do, whether God likes it or not. That was Israel. And we all know what happened to Israel. But one thing, parents, hurts them worse than anything could hurt them, is for a child to go wrong. For a child to bring disgrace unto themselves, to their parents, to their family, to their friends. Now I want to ask you something. How do you think God feels? If you are a parent and you want your children to do right, would you please tell me, if we are the children of God, how does God feel when God's own children are doing worse than the world? After all, what do you expect of the world? Sin abounds. But Christians are to be different. We belong to God. We're children of God. Do you know what hurts God worse than anything else? It's for His children to do wrong. Hosea, like I said, a contemporary with Isaiah. Hosea 11 and 6. Old Hosea made a statement concerning the God of heaven and how much God loves His people. He'll start off like this. How can I turn away from you, O Ephraim? How can I give you up, Israel? Verse 8. My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. Y'all hear that? How does our Heavenly Father feel when we act like the world? How does it affect Him? Just like it affects you when your child does something that harms himself and harms others. Just like you. God even uses the physical terms. He says, my heart is recoil within me. You're tearing my heart out. That's what God said to His people. Hosea. I go back to verse 3 in Hosea 11. Did I not take you by the hand? And listen to Isaiah. The father took him in his arms. You know, like a daddy will take his little child by the hand. He said, come on, son, let me teach you how to walk. He said, that's what I did. I taught you how to walk. I brought you out of Egypt. I took you by the arms. I delivered you. And then you treated me the way you did. How do you think the Almighty feels? Then you could go to Psalms 103 and verse 13. As a father pitieth his children, so also the Heavenly Father pitieth them who fear Him. Like a father to his son, God is saying to Israel, that's what I think of you. You're my son. I took you by the hand. I led you out. I did every good thing to you. And then you treat me like this? Oh, does it get to you? Much is said today about normalcy by the world, by the newspaper, radio. You can read it in the newspaper every day. Television is even worse. Now, you guys know that I get three stations. I think it's three news stations. Then I get a couple of other stations that are thrown in there. I probably get about five or six stations. Believe it or not, I still get ABC and NBC. And how, I don't know. But they are on there. And they got some of the worst programs I ever saw in my life. Have y'all watched The Modern Family? Modern Family? Maybe they ought to call it The Normal Family. Because to the world, that's what's normal. You know what it is? It's a family all messed up. They got kids doing this, that, and the other, but they're saying, oh, that's okay. Let me ask you a question. If God is the Father, does He say, go ahead and do what you want to do? It's okay? No. The Almighty God comes down on it in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Hosea, in the book of Amos, in all the prophets, and He says, it won't work. I won't put up with it. Take a look at some of the things we got over here. You know what? All it takes is for a man to put on a dress and high-heeled shoes, and everybody called, isn't that a wonderful thing? You see where our world is? Do you remember when the angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? The Bible says that these evil men came to the door and tried to knock down the door. Get out of the way, Lot. We want those men that came to you today. Bring them out. We want to know them. Y'all know what that is, don't you? That's where we get the word sodomy. But it's okay. That's normal. And all it takes for our young people, and evidently some older ones too, is for a Hollywood actor or actress to say, it's okay, don't condemn me. I'm doing what I want to do. And everybody else does the same thing. Well, no, I take that back. A lot of other folks do the same thing. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't stone me. That's against the law now. Or is it? See what I'm talking about? Preacher, you don't have a right to do that. You know what they did with Isaiah? Don't y'all do this. You know what they did to Isaiah? Now, this is tradition. It's not in the Bible. But if you go to Hebrew chapter 11, what you will read is that some of those old prophets were sawn asunder for telling the truth. Now, in the writings of the Jewish people, in their traditions, they say that Isaiah was taken out, put in a hollow log, and sawn into. Is that what Hebrews 11 is talking about? May very well be. But Isaiah told it like it is. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you. It's in the world, and you know it. When a hero can go out and stop so many of evil people who are trying to behead everybody who is not one of them. Everyone else is an infidel, and this man goes out and he is a sniper and he takes many lives but prevents them from destroying other lives. Now we come out with a movie that says how horrible he is. Is that what our world's come to? Is that what Isaiah said? What kind of world, Isaiah said, are we living in when we call evil good and good evil? When we put darkness for light and light for darkness. When we put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, that's the world we're living in today. Now, Brother Carter, you just lost. No. All you got to do is open your eyes and take a good look. By God's word, God continues to warn His people, but they refuse to listen. You know what Exodus 23:2 says? Do not follow the multitude to do evil. Like I say, all you got to do is get a movie star or get some fantastic person. President of the United States, a senator of the United States, a representative of our country. Anybody can teach a falsehood and people will follow. Drink it in, hook, line, and sinker. You know, I'm a bass fisherman. Y'all like the bass fish? You know what you can go to stores, and you can buy these little fellas. They look just like little minnows, you know, but they got these hooks on them. And you put it on your line, and you throw her out yonder, and you wiggle it a little bit. You know what those things are called? Lures. All that people have to do in the know, these big guys and big women, is just to let themselves be seen. They're luring us away from God. Okay? Who's going to stand with the Almighty God? Isaiah did. Look what it got him. Let's go back a little bit and look at how God made things, okay? First of all, the Bible says, let's make man in our image after our likeness. He made man, and God said it is good. Now, if you go to Genesis 1 and verse 31, he ends that first chapter by saying it's good. No, he didn't. He said it's very good. Qualified the good. He said, it's very good. Was very good. Everything that God made. Everything in its place. Everything operating the way it should operate. God gave them a paradise to live in. And said to Adam, you take care of the garden. Live here. Enjoy life. I'll give you a helpmate to be with you. All I'm asking you to not do is to take of that one tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, you got the right to do it. That's how I made you. I wanted you to have a conscience. I wanted you to determine right and wrong. And what I'm telling you is, it'd be wrong now. This is coming from God. Don't eat of that forbidden tree. That's the one, leave alone. Why did God put it there? So man would have a choice. Why do we have the world that we're living in today with all its evil? Because we got a choice. We are creatures of choice. We have to determine whether we will be good or whether we'll be bad. We won't call evil good, and we won't call darkness light. We will walk in the truth of what God says, whether anybody likes it or not. And when a Christian stands up and says so, they call us abnormal. We're the problem. I'm the problem. I'm the problem because I dare say what the old prophet said and what the writers of the book said and what God said is wrong, is wrong, is wrong. There is a wrong and there is a right. Now, in the beginning, there was no sickness, there was no pain, there was no death. Can you guys, it's hard to fathom it, isn't it? Adam and Eve live forever. Everything's okay. But I want to tell you something. Man being given that choice, man lost his right to the tree of life. That's not all that happened either. That when Adam and Eve, when they violated God's law, it passed it on to you and me. The consequence. You know what the consequence is? Death. By the first man, Adam, came death. By the second Adam came life. It took the life of God to save you and me. You hear me? God became man, lived among us, died for us. That's how bad sin is. That's how bad it is, folks. And don't say, no, Brother Carter, it's just normal. No, it's not normal. It's abnormal. What is normal is what God gave to us to do. But we've always violated it. Their innocence was gone. Woman and man both punished. Woman going to have pain in childbearing. Man, to make your bread, you're going to sweat. By the brow, you're going to get out there. But not only that, it's going to be thorns and thistles come up. You're going to have hurt and pain in this life until the day that you go back to the earth from whence you came. So man dies. Death began to reign. Well, did that stop man? Did he get on his knees and say, oh, God, I'm sorry? No. He got worse. Go to Genesis 6. And the Lord God looked upon man, and every thought and imagination of man was upon evil continually. So God said, all right then, I will just wipe the earth clean. I will destroy man whom I have created, man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But thanks be unto God, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Noah. Did y'all know that? Noah, his three children, their wives, and his wife. Eight souls. That's it. Out of that population on earth at that time, I don't know what it was, but the earth was wiped clean. Life began again. Man did the same thing. Y'all hearing me? There hasn't been a generation of man who has not violated God's word over and over again. The flood ought to have been enough to tell folks, hey, we better walk right. Did they? No. If you go to Genesis chapter 11, the Bible says that they got together and they said, let's build us a city, let's build us a tower that'll reach into heaven. Evidently, the idea, we'll take care of this God. He thinks he's it. Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes, Isaiah said, who are prudent in their own heart. And the Lord God came down and he confounded their languages. And then they were scattered to the four quarters of the earth. And there we are today. And what are we doing? Same thing. By the way, man had skills that you and I are just now learning about. Did you know they have found buildings that are in the depth of the ocean now? That man had erected certain things that today we stand and we are astonished at the intricate detail that man was able to do. And we say, man couldn't do that. Let me tell you something. Those folks were close to God. They were close to the creation. And they could do some things that you and I marvel at. Now, I have not seen, ear have not heard, it have not entered into the heart of man that which God has reserved for you and me. If you're faithful unto the Almighty God, let me tell you something. There is something coming for us that we're not going to. We'll just stand in amazement of what we'll be able to do because we're going to be with God. But today, man is divided. Things are turned upside down. Now, even though things were marred from what God gave, God said everything is very good. This is the way it should be. Genesis 1:31. But then we began to read of all of the sin, mayhem, murder, debauchery, you name it, that came by the sons of men. How then can we get back to a normal life? How can we be normal? Are you asking me, Brother Carter, you mean to tell me that I can get to the point where I never sin again? No, I didn't say that. Because, let me tell you, you may sit back and you may say, now look, Brother Carter, I don't sin. Don't tell a lie. John says, if any man saith he sinneth not, he is a liar, and the truth of God's not in him. Every one of us going to make our mistakes, but you know what? We got a high priest. We got a Redeemer now who says, Father, put that on my account. I am only pure because I have put my life in the life of him who gave his life for me. Y'all see that? You and I can't do it. No. We make our mistakes over and over again. But thank God we have enough knowledge to say, Father, I'm sorry. I sinned. Please forgive me through Jesus Christ. And it's wiped out. We have something the world doesn't know anything about, folks. We're kept clean and pure in Christ because we belong to him. We have been washed. We've been justified. We've been purified through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. He makes us pure and whole again. He saves us from our past sins. We are forgiven. We are born again. The world may look upon Christians as abnormal, but in Christ, we are the normal ones. We've come back to what God said you got to be. Pure, right, in the sight of God. Touch it not, taste it not, rely on me. Quit eating the forbidden fruit. Rely on the bread of life. And who is the tree of life? Who is the bread of life? You know. It's Christ. That's right. So what was lost in Adam, we gain back in Christ. I hope the things that we've talked about this morning encourage us. My country, America, that I love so dearly. If you had told me things that I see today, things that I witness, things that I hear, would have been going on when I was a kid raised up in East Texas, you said, well, you didn't know anything. Yeah, no, I was back in the boonies, okay. And thank God, that's where I was raised. I don't want to touch these things. I don't want nothing to do with them. I want to go to heaven. How about you? The world is not right. There's only one right way. One way to be normal with God. That's through His Son, Jesus Christ. And my question to you this morning, are you living with Christ? Have you invited Him in? Have you said, Lord, I give up everything. I turn my life over to You. You believe on Christ and repent of your sins. Make an about face. Turn to God. Confess the most beautiful name that's ever been uttered on the face of this earth. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He died for me. Then complete your obedience by being buried with your Lord in the watery grave of baptism and be raised to walk a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Your sins will be washed away, Acts 2, verse 38, Acts 22, 16. The Lord will add you to His spiritual body, Acts 2, verse 41. And if you'll be faithful until death, you can go to heaven. Revelation 2:10, Revelation 14, verse 13. What you say? Aren't you ready to obey your Lord this morning? And become normal? Walk the normal way? The way God wants us to walk? I encourage you to do that. Maybe that you need prayers of the congregation. May have done some things. You've talked to God about it, but you're still hurt. Come, let's all pray together. God will forgive. Now, here's the thing. You want to work with a congregation that's moving forward in doing what the Lord wants in this world, trying to bring souls to Christ, but living the way God wants us to live, then come on. Be a part of this congregation. If you're subject, all together we stand and sing.